Welcome to Turning the Table, the most progressive weekly podcast for today's food and beverage industry, featuring staff-centric operating solutions for restaurants in the hashtag New Hospitality Culture. Join Jim Taylor of Benchmark 60 and Adam Lamb as they turn the tables on the prevailing operating assumptions of running a restaurant in favor of innovative solutions to our industry's most persistent challenges. Thanks for joining us. And now, on to the show.
My name is Adam Lamb, and I'm a career coach for chefs and hospitality professionals at cheflifecoaching.com. And we have my co-host Jim Taylor of Benchmark 60 here with us. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, how are you?
Great, man. This is episode 123. The successful hospitality mindset for 2023. I'm really looking forward to this discussion, man. You'll want to stick around because Jim and I will reveal the top three core beliefs you can leverage to set yourself up for success in this new year. Jim, should we start with a check-in?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best thing that's going to start. I
know. And we're grateful to our friends at chowco.org out of Denver who have kind of built this system of check-in. Chowco uses this kind of temperature gauge as a way to ask people to like kind of be real about their emotional state when they show up to work. And they use this every Monday at a Zoom call, which you can find at chowco.org, which is a really, really great. You can go, anybody anywhere can call in at this particular time and you can check their schedule out and just be part of this group where they start out with this, and there are some really, really vulnerable and courageous conversations going in that space. I was blessed to present one day, and I loved it so much I keep coming back as a participant. So rare, medium, medium, well, and well. What do you think, Jim? Where are you at?
I think I'm somewhere between medium and medium well. Or sorry, medium and medium rare today. We're obviously fresh into the new year, right? Happy New Year. Looking at those words that kind of show up there. One, I'm very proud of 2022. I'm feeling actually kind of calm about 2023, which is kind of crazy. And I feel like I've got a better idea of where I'm at personally and professionally than I have been the last few years. So that's kind of a good feeling. And looking forward to this conversation about mindset because it's just so relevant about, you know, where the industry's at and January for sure. So.
It's been a rough couple, you know, got it called out and just say it's, you know, about 3 years. So, and it doesn't look like things at the outset, it doesn't look like things are going to get much better. They're talking about this other Omicron variant and da, 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 da. And so there's lots of reasons to be pessimistic and to feel shitty about the way things are turning, which is why we're here, because we love to present solutions to the problems that exist because we've feel it's very important to talk a little bit about the problem, but more so about the solutions. And that's what we're going to get to. That's why mindset is so powerful. And I would say that right now I'm about medium rare. I'm definitely thankful, satisfied. All things considered, I'm pretty calm and hopeful because, you know, being like owning my circumstance for me is a great way to feel empowered to be able to change them. And so that's part of my mindset moving into 2023. And I did a post on LinkedIn this morning where I was just talking about, you know, I've used this first week of the year to just like clear the decks, you know, find my alley, my space, and get rid of all the distractions. I don't know how many email lists I've unsubscribed. But the coolest thing is like waking up in the next morning and that email, you know, the inbox is about that small compared to what it usually is. So that's a very powerful way for me to just kind of get reconnected to my mission, who I serve, how I serve them, and more importantly, to get rid of anything else that distracts from that. And I don't know about you, Jim, but you know, as a solopreneur, as a coach, mentor, and consultant, it just seems like every time I open up a social media feed, I'm getting bombarded by videos and ads about the new thing, the new platform, the new system for code. Like I got so goddamn confused. And what it did is it actually stopped me from actually taking any action because I'm like, well, so what do I do? Do I do a newsletter? Do I, you know, is there another course that I need to take? It's like paralyzing.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my blues story.
Well, I mean, unsubscribe is a good way to start the year, right? Now you've got the rest of the year to resubscribe to a whole
Well, at least it gives me, you know, it gives me an opportunity to use discernment, right? About what the fuck I actually want to subscribe to. Mm. Like Mark Manson, who is an author whom I love and has a very particular way of languaging, but he basically has this theory of like, you only have so many fucks to give in a day. So you get to be really, really clear about what you give a fuck about, to be frank. And sometimes in during my career, I recognized that, you know, I was putting a whole lot of effort and attention into things that really didn't matter. Mm-hmm. But I was just going to kind of like own it as part of my way of being in the kitchen. And very rarely did that serve me. And it took me taking a short-term contract at a hotel that was closing. Because when I went there, they told me, hey, listen, just hold everything down. We've got 90 days to go. Most of the staff, salaried staff had left. So I had one kitchen or one hourly kitchen staff member who was on the payroll, and everybody else was from short-term staffing companies. And every day I would go in there and have to train a new person on the pantry.
Oh, geez.
So many opportunities to become frustrated and pissed off because, you know, salad wasn't made correctly or like, why aren't you watching? And there would be a different person there. Like very rarely were the same two people there. And so I got very, very clear on where I was going to actually put any energy. So it got to the point where, you know, there were things that I was just going to have to let go of where in earlier in my career, I would have just blown a fucking gasket.
Yeah. So where do you tell people to spend or focus their energy in January? I mean, in restaurant, January is a crazy time of year, right? It's coming off a high. It's people scrambling to plan. It's what's happening with profit and sales and all this different stuff. So I mean, what's your advice? What's your approach with people that you how to just stay sane, start the year right, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's that's a great question. And thank you for asking it because I'm really present to this because I have a new client that I was spending some time with yesterday who had been going up and down emotionally, and her body was giving her very clear indications on, you know, right before New Year's, she had some type of stomach bug that put her out for 5 days. So she couldn't even be at the job because she was so ill. Yeah. And her employer basically said to her, we support you. We think it's time to get some help, whatever that looks like to you, because we need you healthy and whole. And one of the things that she said to me, which was fascinating, was her employers were actually encouraging her to bring her whole self to work. And she didn't know how to do that. So first off, you know, she's been trained, shamed, and conditioned by the industry to not trust a whole lot of people. Like, yeah. I'm sure anybody who's been in the hospitality industry at some point in their career have had somebody who was coming up under them and was angling for their job. And it's a very, very unstable place to be, right? And so you don't start trusting anybody. So she's completely unpracticed at like showing up as a fully functioning human being. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really fascinating and that she had support from her. What I've discovered ever since COVID, and it caused everybody to really take a good look at their lives and like their employers and how they wanted to spend their time. What I've found is that it's really, really, really important at this time to be very, very clear and grounded in your personal values. Yeah. Like the immutable things that you are not willing to bargain away. Because I don't know about you, Jim, but a lot of times in my career, I was just going on to the next job and to the next job and to the next job without really taking into consideration, like Omni Hotels has this philosophy of the three pillars: ownership, guest, staff. Mm-hmm. And their efforts are all around making sure that those three pillars are even. Now, it's always going to be a time when it's out of balance.
Sure.
But the cool thing was, is that was actually visible in the way the managers interacted with the staff. You could tell that they were committed to that. And Anna Ramirez is just checking in and she's medium rare. That's pretty cool. And Edwin Kumar is saying, new is norm is overrated, which totally get that.
Thanks for joining us, Edwin.
So for me, I think it's really, really important because it's been part of my journey to understand what I stand for and how I show up in the world. And those two things are aligned. And I can look back almost, you know, within within the last 3 years that I was in a position where what they were saying, management, ownership, however you want to language it, the attributes that they crowed about the way that they stood for their associates and all this kind of stuff, in actual fact, was not the way things were on the ground. And I wish I had taken the time to maybe do a little bit more due diligence, maybe talk to some staff members as they were going out to the parking lot, you know, after their job to say, hey, what's going on? And the cool thing is that there's some websites out there that actually grade or review employers where you can, if you're looking for a job, and you would go there and actually get real reviews from people. And there's always some sour grapes, but to go into a position without taking that into consideration, and then halfway, you know, you're halfway down the river in this canoe and you find out, holy shit, man, there's more rocks and sticks than I gave it credit for. So, and I know things are changing, but this is a really, really great time. That's why when everybody was talking about the great resignation, I continue to refer it as to the great reset. Like, this is a great opportunity for the industry to reset, but also for us as individuals, because as long as I'm living in victimhood and blaming everybody else for my circumstance, then I don't have any power to change anything. And that's a really, really, really shitty place to be and very dismaying. And so when I decide that I'm just going to change my perspective on that and say, I own everything that happens to me, then that gives me the opportunity to change. Sometimes that's about me changing, but it's also about looking around and seeing what in my environment or who I'm kind of relating to or spending time with change. Like, sometimes it's getting rid of toxic people out of your life, right?
Absolutely.
And how does that show up for you, Jim?
Well, I mean, January is just such a, it's funny, right? Because there's always all this discussion about resolutions and what are you going to do differently this year and all that kind of thing. But I don't know, for me, both, I think when I was in hospitality and operations and currently now, whether it's business or family, for me, I think it's just my mindset is really about focus on what I can control.
Mm.
You know, and that applies, I think, to me in terms of, like I said, business, family, all kinds of stuff. And specifically for operations in restaurants this time of year, there's so much that's out of their control, right? Their customers behave differently. Their staff behave differently. You know, I was talking to a restaurant operator yesterday that was frustrated about how much time off their employees were taking in, you know, over the next couple of weeks and how much PTO pay they were going to have to pay. It's like, well, of course you're going to be paying PTO. People can't take time off in December because they're working.
Right.
So, you know, I think just really focusing on what we can control and what we can't, and, you know, because there's so many different things coming at us in January. It's, you know, from credit card bills from Christmas to,
oh boy,
resolutions to, you know, all these different things going on. So for me, it really lands in terms of just like really hunker in and think about what are the things that are under my control and what can I do with them?
So maybe it's a great opportunity to maybe, because I think the word mindset again is one of those words that just get thrown around very easily. Sure. And I know for myself, mindset was kind of a mystery. Like, what the hell do you mean? Like, what is a mindset? So I found this great explanation on a webpage, and the link is in the chat, verywellmind.com. But your mindset is a set of beliefs to shape how you make sense of the world and yourself. It influences how you think, feel, and behave in any given situation. It means that what you believe about yourself impacts your success or failure. Now, I don't know about you, Jim, but that's kind of a gut punch for me. That what I believe about myself impacts my success or failure. And for some folks, that might seem like, well, sure, that's true. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how many of us actually go about our day embracing that and using that as kind of operative paradigm for their life.
Yeah. Like, it's easy to say, to nod your head and agree with. It's harder to actually think about it in terms of reality.
I mean, my mindset, if I'm looking at that correctly and understanding it correctly, my mindset has has changed, geez, with every decade. You know, it was almost like a rite of passage every decade because there seemed to be something else within those 10 years. So earlier on in my career, I was, you know, very aggressive, very passionate, always the first one up the hill with the flag, and didn't have a whole lot of patience or for anybody who lagged behind, right? Like the mission was everything. And that kicked my ass because what it set me up for some behaviors that were really unacceptable towards other people, right? Like using that as an excuse. Now, of course, as I get older, you know, the old adage, you know, the older I get, the less I know. But what I'm present to is like, I'm less certain of things. And that certainty was always kind of something that I used to embrace. And then stuff started happening and I'm like, I'm not certain of anything.
Yeah.
So yeah. We teased everybody by saying this, you know, we're going to talk about the three core beliefs that will ensure success in 2023. And I guess the first question I want to ask you is, what makes 2023 any different than 2022? Won't the same mindset work?
Well, that's a loaded question. I mean, I don't know. I, you know, both of us spend lots of time talking to lots of people in restaurants, and you know, I'm definitely a silver lining kind of guy. I'm an optimist, and I try to see the best in what's going on. And maybe I'm just picking some of this stuff out of conversations because I want to hear it. But you know, I think that 2020, we don't want to talk about 2021. Let's probably not go there. 2022, I found that there was a lot of still conversation about, I can't believe this is happening to our industry. We're still getting beat up, you know, those types of things, you know, what's next, inflation and cost of goods and all this stuff. You know, I think I'm hearing a lot of people in our industry start to say, okay, it's not going to change. It's not going to get easier. It's not going to go back to the way that it was. So how do we move forward through that? And, you know, to me, like I said, maybe I'm guilty of being an optimist, but I actually, if that's the mindset that we can go into 2023 with, then there's going to be some really cool innovation and new things that have happened in our industry this year.
Right.
So that's kind of where, you know, my mind is at. And also I'm starting to hear a lot more people in hospitality start to talk like that, forget the way it was in 2019. Let's move, you know, try to move forward past the last couple of years, and let's really look at how we can move the industry.
I'm just going to throw this up on the screen because this is a great comment by Tucker. I found for many people in our industry, getting out of the fight or flight mentality of survival, paying bills, getting sober, healthy, et cetera, is the first step before someone can even begin to think about adjusting their mindset. Feeling safe in my experience is a prerequisite before we can really begin to transform our mindset in a meaningful way. Feeling safe is kind of the first transformation, I think. And that is an excellent point.
All set.
You know, again, being a contrarian, I would say, so do you actually need to feel safe before you can start your transformation? Or does the transformation predicate the fact that you start to feel safe? Right? The chicken or the egg conversation. And I don't know where I come down on that. And certainly, to your point, you know, ever since COVID hit, you know, the rumblings of this hashtag new hospitality culture started, and it was a few people, and then it was a couple of organizations. Then it was a network of organizations. You know, our good friend Jensen Cummings is starting his own LinkedIn podcast where they're having really engaging conversations. And it seems to me that wave is about to crest. So the fact that so many of us are focused on an evolution of the hospitality culture and the focus on making sure that our staff feel safe, seen, valued. I think, you know, again, the COVID did us a solid on this because it probably had to be something that drastic to wake some of us up, myself included. So I kind of follow, you know, your thread with it. Like this could be an incredible year for innovation.
And innovation that doesn't, you know, people, when they think innovation, people think about the new technology that's coming up or the new software that's happening or a robot that's going to bring me my food. You know, I don't think that that's what we're talking about here. you know, we're talking about innovation in terms of how we look at the industry, how we think about things, how we plan, how we protect people. You know, that's the term I always use, is protect the people that work in hospitality.
Right.
We haven't done a very good job of that in the past.
No, you're absolutely correct.
So that's, you know, in terms of mindset for me and innovation for me, that's where I think that there's the biggest opportunity for our industry. It's not robots. Nothing against the robot thing. It's coming someday, sure.
Yeah.
But you know, it's, you know, we need to innovate in terms of, you know, how we approach the industry.
So if I could ask you to relanguage that in a way, like what mindset is that, Jim? Like, how would you say that? What mindset is required in order to allow the space for innovation? And, you know, it can't be like a know-it-all. It can't be, you know, thinking that we all have what would predicate that type of innovation?
I think it's almost part of it's, I think, about having almost a bit of an accepting mindset that this is the way that our industry is currently. It's not going to go back to the way that it was pre-pandemic. And how do we move forward?
So it's almost like for those of us who are sitting around kind of pining about how it was pre-pandemic and why it can't go back to that way, your message is like, yeah, it's never going to be that anymore. And the sooner that we accept that, then we can allow for other things to show up in that space.
Well, and I think this is where people like you are so powerful in the industry, because you've been through, you know, so many different scenarios of whether it's recession in 08 or it's pandemic in 2020 or it's, you know, different things that happen throughout different markets and, you know, years of experience. And so, you know, I know for sure that the people that spend time with you they come out of that engagement so much more open to what is possible, you know, understanding that there's some empathy around that this, we can work through this stuff as an industry and kind of help them get to that space, right? Because it's tough to do that on your own. Everybody needs a coach or a mentor or someone to lean on a little bit.
Sure. I mean, I have one. You have one.
Yeah,
I mean, you never outgrow, I don't want to say the benefit, but it's certainly opportunity to gain another perspective, because really what shows up for me in those coaching and mentoring moments is someone else sharing their perspective with me that I may not necessarily have seen. Cause sometimes I'm so close to it that I can't see the forest for the trees.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. So for you, what would be three core? So acceptance has got to be one of those, right? Acceptance that things are not going to go back to the way they are, because from that standpoint, then we can let go of everything else. And I think one of the most important things that we're able to let go in that space is, you know, holding judgment against anybody else or anything else, right? Because you're waiting around for it to go back to the normal and shit's not happening. And so that gives you, you can collect a lot of evidence why things are fucked up and why nothing's going to change. Because you're holding on to this memory of the way things used to be. What are a couple of the other beliefs, core beliefs that you want to embrace into 2023?
Well, I think in terms of specifically for our industry, the belief around, you know, acceptance of this is the way things are and how do we move forward is number one. The second one is kind of what we were talking about a minute ago around the protection of people who work in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a conversation the other day about employee turnover. And, you know, this was a restaurant operator that had multiple units and they had some locations that had, you know, 60, 70, 80% turnover annually. They had a couple that had 200% turnover. And, you know, I have to give him credit because he was sort of saying, okay, it's time to stop everything until we figure out how to do this better. Because, I mean, if you think about how any other industry, if you went into a tech organization or an oil and gas company or a bank or a, you know, and said, you're going to have 200% turnover next year, they would go, well, that's now the number one priority because we can't find it that way.
Right.
So I think, you know, that that concept around the protection of people who choose to work in hospitality, I think has to come to the front more, and it is coming for sure. And I think the third one is just, there's so much opportunity for creativity in our industry right now.
Totally get that. And I, you know, Edwin kind of beat me to the punch in this, because his comment is perpetual curiosity without judgment is the key to the future of the industry. The same way chefs innovate recipes is the same fundamental part of the brain that can be used as an asset towards ensuring tradition leads to positive future outcomes. Yeah, that is a mouthful. Edwin, thank you for that. Because Edwin, I would
name pop up. I thought you might have some good contribution.
Because I was going to add that for me, curiosity has to be one of those core beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a core belief, or maybe it's a core belief in possibility, like as you were saying, because I was just sitting there and thinking about, you know, acceptance, your version of acceptance, that things are not going to go back the same way, almost mimics my statement of like, you need to own your circumstance, yeah. Right? Like what it is, be clear about what it is, because then you can move from there. But if not, then you're always kind of stuck and moving on. But this idea of curiosity to me is incredibly empowering, in that, to relate back to a comment that I made earlier about certainty, like if, so I'll give you a great example. When I first started dating my wife, Jennifer, today's our anniversary, by the way.
Happy anniversary.
Hey, hi, Jennifer. Happy anniversary. She would start talking about something and I would go, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. And she said, do you know, every time you say that, it stops me in my, it stops me, my thought in my brain, because I can't be in contribution to you. Right. Mm-hmm. Because you already know what I'm going to say. And she added, and I'm pretty sure that there are some things that you're just saying that about because you don't really know, but, and I realized that she was absolutely correct, that every time I said, I know, then not only am I not allowing someone else to be in contribution to me, but I'm like shutting them down in such a way that like now there's nothing that they can add.
Yeah.
And in almost every incident or instance that I did that, I am pretty clear that if I had just shut my mouth, I would have learned something new. Like I want to, instead of being like a know-it-all, because I wanted to show up as smart and intelligent and charming and all that shit, I know that if I had just been curious to where she was going with that line of thinking, it would have been a much better conversation.
Yeah, and she already knew that you were smart and intelligent and charming anyway, right?
Well, you know, again, it's not what she was believing, it's what I was believing, which kind of goes back to that mindset. So for me, curiosity is very, very powerful, because that's about possibilities. So in a sentence, I would say I would be much rather engaged in expansion than contraction in 2023. I want to expand into the new, into the unknown. I heard a phrase yesterday that I had to quote, which is the life that you imagine is just outside of your comfort zone. And as an industry, we are definitely outside the comfort zone. So the question is do we want to be in expansion and discover new possibilities, yeah, or do we want to hold on to the shit? Because, you know, wasn't that great then?
Sure.
The only positive thing is that it was the known,
yeah,
versus, yeah, the unknown. And I know that that takes some courageousness around folks willing to step outside of their comfort zone, not only individually, but us as a community and an industry. If we don't embrace that, you know, we'll just be stuck again. And 2023 will roll past and there'll be the same problems and we'll be bitching about the same thing and nothing will ever change. And there'll be operators that do really, really well, and there'll be operators and individuals who will be flat on their ass at the end of the year.
So, well, and you know what's so crazy about our industry is that the industry's comfort zone was not comfortable.
Right.
Right. High turnover, low margins, unpredictable business, all of that stuff, even pre-pandemic.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It was the comfort zone, this is what we know, this is the way it is in our industry, still wasn't comfortable. I mean, you ask any investor or anyone who wants to get into a restaurant opportunity, and their first thing is, well, like, they're low margin, they're high risk. Well, okay, so if it's already uncomfortable, then let's embrace it and find ways to do things.
Yep. Yep. This has been an excellent show. and a great conversation. And I so appreciate everybody's contribution, both in the chat and everything. Oh, Jim, what do you think there's left to say about, again, us as individuals, as a fraternity, as a community, moving into 2023? Like, what's the last word?
I think that my last word is, well, can I have two?
Yeah, sure.
My two last words are one I said earlier, and that was just to the whole creative opportunity that exists. And the other one is that I truly believe that our industry needs to collaborate more. And I think that that's starting to happen as well. So creativity and collaboration are, I think, two sort of last words for me heading into the year.
Can you talk just a little bit more? And again, I want to be, you know, sensitive to everybody's time, but can you talk a little bit more about what that collaboration would look like for you?
Well, it can mean so many things. I think, you know, it could be something like, you know, the industry is tough enough as it is, as we've been talking about. And, you know, for a long time, I think that the hospitality industry just spent a lot of time looking over its shoulder at what everybody else, you know, was doing, or who's coming for me, or who's doing this or that. And I don't think there was enough best practice sharing. So, you know, collaboration in terms of there's opportunity for everybody to help each other win in the industry, because it doesn't need to become more challenging. I think it's the same when it comes to, if somebody is serious about a career in hospitality, there's people like you that are there to support them and genuinely want them to be successful. Mm. You know, and that's really important. Is like you said, everybody needs a coach or a mentor or that type of thing. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, a personal mission of mine is to break down some of the barriers that exist around the idea that that consultation in our industry is not a good thing. You know, that there are people who, again, genuinely care about the success of a business and want to share resource and expertise. So I think that the more we can collaborate and come together as a community, the better. It's going to help us move forward.
And I am going to actually let Chris McFadden have the last word when he says that change is the only constant in the universe. And now it's about all of us in the industry leading, adapting, and adopting these changes. And I say huzzah to that, Christopher. And I would add, and to hold it all loosely, right? Because nothing is more frustrating than thinking you got it clocked and things shift. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're coming from the belief of, you know, I am going to hold all of it kind of loosely and not bear down, then there's room to move. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
sharing. Yeah, Edwin, I totally agree.
Yeah. Last year was an amazing year for us as a partnership with this podcast, and none of it could have been possible without the contribution, partnership, and enthusiasm of all you listeners. So we say, you know, deeply from our hearts, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And 2023 is definitely about leveraging our assets to be able to bring more solutions and engage in conversations and talk about the things that matter to you as a listener. Because just because I think of it doesn't mean that it's, you know, like I've lost that ego part of me after getting, you know, kicked in the chest enough times, dragging horses to water. But, you know, this idea that the more engagement we have, the more clear we are about what kind of content means something to you. And that not only do you value, but you can actually put to work to create positive change in your environments and as individuals within your own heart and family and community. So we say thank you. We will see you next week right here on Turning the Table. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Turning the Table with me, Adam Lamb, and Jim Taylor. This episode was sponsored by Benchmark 60. We're on a mission to change the food and beverage industry by focusing on staff mental health and well-being by forecasting and actively managing workload productivity. Over 200 restaurants and food and beverage operations have discovered for themselves how to increase staff retention and become a preferred employer in their market by using our proprietary system. If you'd like to have an operational culture that everybody wants to work for, then check out Benchmark 60 on the web at www.benchmark60.com. Thanks for taking the time to be with us and the courage to try new things for the restaurant profession's oldest problems. Turning the Table is a production of Realignment Media.